Here's Robert Kraft right now. He'll sit down and make the official announcement, and then
thank you,
Bill Belichick will join him.
This is a great day for the New England Patriots. I'm very excited to introduce to you our new head coach, Bill Belichick.
I'm thrilled to be part of this organization and to be able to have the opportunity to lead this team. What I'm going to demand from the players and from the people in the organization is that they make the commitment towards a championship. That's what our goal is. That's all I really am about, is trying to win football games.
Here comes one of greater importance if he makes it, and it's right down the pipe. No time on the clock, and the Patriots have won Super Bowl 36. Unbelievable.
People thought you were crazy when you gave up a number one draft choice for this man right here, Coach Bill Belichick.
Well, the best deal I ever made was getting this guy.
Great job of playing the game the way we want to play it. Taking care of the ball, turning the ball over, running the ball, making big plays, covering kicks, all the stuff we talked about, you guys did it.
The New England Patriots claim their second Super Bowl championship in 3 years.
And the New England Patriots are on their way to solidifying their team as an NFL dynasty.
We'll always do what's best for the football team. That's what it's all driven by. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati.
Extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw.
Ruffled a few feathers. Not in a dirty way, just in a highly competitive way. They made everybody else better.
We all, at one point or another, have played for a coach who's a jerk.
Look, get up there on him, jam him, and when he runs away from you, then just run him down. You with me? Don't get into a quickness game with him, because you're not very quick.
Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Cuts it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's
a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Robert and I, after a series of discussions, have mutually agreed to part ways. There's so many fond memories and thoughts that I think about the Patriots, and I'll always be a Patriot.
This is a special presentation on the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of an era. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Anthony Pepe.
Alongside Mark Linehan, Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors, it's a Bill Belichick day, as Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots agree to mutually part ways after 24 years as the head coach of the New England Patriots. 266-121 is the record, 30 postseason wins for Bill Belichick, 6 Super Bowl titles in 9 appearances, 17 AFC East titles, the T-shirt and hat games, and of course, 18 playoff appearances. He's 14 wins shy of Don Shula.
How long do you clean your office out after 25 years?
He's got a guy.
Yeah, he might have a couple.
He's got a guy. He's got a guy. But first of all, you think Bill Belichick has a lot of stuff in his office?
I bet he's got a lot of pictures and trophies and crap. And he's probably got stuff hidden like in the bottom drawer that he put in there in like 1993, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Deflategate, Spygate
there
stuff.
You go, the pin for the football.
All right, we're going to continue Bill Belichick this hour and a lot of Bill Belichick stuff. And right now, we're going to continue it with the Bill Belichick version of the Beantown Rundown.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Now, time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
All right, guys, initial thoughts when you first woke up this morning, 7 a.m., breaking news, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are all done-ski. What were your initial thoughts when you saw this? I mean, I know there was no surprises. Everyone thought this was coming, just weren't sure when. People were talking about it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then people were kind of getting a little frustrated, like, why isn't it happening? So no surprise, but your initial thoughts. Question two, agree or disagree with Bob Kraft's final decision here? Do you think there was ever a moment where he was saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we could make this work. Let's keep him around one more year, see what happens this new draft. But at the end of the day, your overall thoughts on the Kraft's decision, and was it the right one? Your favorite Bill Belichick moment is question three here, Beantown Rundown. We talked a little bit about this earlier. My favorite was when this year when he was so disgusted with a call, he threw the red challenge flag down at the referee. That was, I think he was, you know, down tying his shoe or something. He just, like, literally spiked the flag in front of the referee. I thought it was typical Bill Belichick. Least favorite Bill Belichick moment, if you have one. And then the whole question five, Brady Belichick. Your thoughts, you know, was it Brady? Was it Belichick? Could have been both. I don't really like this argument because I believe it is both. But at the end of the day, your thoughts on the Brady-Belichick, you know, controversy or conversation, if you will. Hey, Linehan, start with you. Your initial thoughts when you first found out about the Bill Belichick news.
Obviously anticipating it, wasn't surprised. My biggest thing was waiting to see how the press conference would be handled. Mm-hmm. When I heard it was the two of them together, I thought cha-ching for old Billy boy.
Yeah, you knew he was going to the bank.
Yeah,
but you knew that anyway.
Yeah.
You knew he was going to get paid anyway.
Well, I think, like I said before, and just knowledge from people that I know in the league, the offset aspect of it about, you know, if he just left with them owing him the money, he wasn't getting really paid next. He was basically coaching for free next year, so... The fact that they came out holding hands meant, you know, everybody's getting, Kraft got a break and Billy's getting paid.
Jeff, what do you think?
After Monday's 7 a.m. quick press conference, I'm under contract like business as usual. I thought it was actually going to drag on a little further and then woke up this morning, obviously, to the news. So kind of surprised that he finally ripped the Band-Aid off and said enough's enough.
I didn't have a problem with it, and I know people were complaining that it took forever and it should have happened on Monday. What are they waiting for? It didn't happen Tuesday, Wednesday. But at the end of the day, like Linehan said, they had some business to work out. This wasn't just a coach that was you know, here for a few years, like a Mike Vrabel in Tennessee for 7 years. This guy was here for 24 years and created this Patriots dynasty in the Patriot way and six Super Bowl titles and changed the whole history of not only the National Football League, the New England Patriots, but New England sports in general.
Yeah, so like, on top of that, he's got two kids on the staff.
Man.
What was their contract? If I would assume most assistants, from what I was told, have. I know Billy O'Brien has at least one more year on it. I don't know if Belichick's. If the father had one more year, I would assume the kids had one more year. So you had to negotiate buyouts for them, or maybe they want to stay. From what I understand,
so there are a lot more moving parts.
Huge, and from what I understand, Steve Belichick and Mayo are close. You know, now it comes down to: do you want to, you know, start your own kind of legacy type thing and stay here, or do you want to go with the old man?
Jeff, we'll start with you. Agree or disagree on Kraft's decision here?
At the end of the day, I agree with it. It was time, maybe a little longer than it, you know, maybe could have done this a year or two ago.
The
Mac Jones project didn't work. So I have to, the end of the day, yes, it was time.
I always wonder if the Mac Jones project did work and they were 9-7, you know, 9-8 or 10-7, maybe made the playoffs this year. Would this even be a question?
It'd still be here.
Still be here.
Absolutely, if I made the playoffs.
You obviously agree with the decision. It was time, right?
It was time to go. And I think that, like I said, I really anticipated it like Wednesday or Thursday and talking to people, you know, just what was going to happen.
And then the Saban news happened Wednesday night.
Yeah, and then I think that the whole, again, not to be repetitive, but the whole conversation of the offset language to make sure he got paid and the Crafts didn't have to, you know, eat the money.
Favorite Bill Belichick moment? Do you have one, Linehan?
I mean, all the Super Bowls, obviously. The first Super Bowl was special because we never saw one before.
Yep.
And you know what? I'll take it a step further. Is that I think that, you know, in helping run a bar in Boston by Fenway Park for 100 years, I don't think people even, you know, understand just how much joy or whatever it was that those wins brought to the entire city. You know what I mean? Just to see, it was just an event. It was just a crazy time. I mean, just being in a bar every night and, you know, the place would be packed. Everybody in Patriot shirts. The whole atmosphere was just
six.
Yeah, the
Super
real deal,
Bowls,
you know,
nine Super Bowl appearances. Yep. Every year, it was AFC Championship for how many straight years? Like it was automatic.
And you know what? Too, when you're running the bar business, you realize that the Super Bowl can be a flop day because everybody goes to parties. But when it's your team in the Super Bowl, it's a poop show.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
Favorite Bill Belichick moment, Jeff?
I butchered it last time during the Deflategate, the Mona Lisa veto of football comment just blew me away. You know, me being in my business.
What business is that, Jeff?
East Coast Sports
there
Investors.
There you go, buddy.
You know, you're looking for underdogs during this two-decade dynasty run, they were favored 95% of the game. So going against them and constantly winning wasn't easy either.
Speaking of gambling, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots put a lot of books out of business.
1,000%.
Yeah. Bill Belichick, least favorite moment? Do you have one?
I just wasn't a fan. And I don't get me wrong. I have the utmost respect for him. I think he's a great coach. I learned as a myself being a coach, certainly not anywhere near that level, but you learn from guys like him, and you know. But it's just times where the way he just treated the media, I just didn't get it. It just wasn't necessary, you know. And like I said before, my question would have been, you know, if my boss tells me to do my job, like you tell your players, how am I not doing my job by asking you questions that you won't answer? You know what I mean?
How am I supposed to do my job?
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just didn't get it sometimes. And the dichotomy, the difference he was on his Monday morning shows, even these days, with whether he won or he lost, it was just, you know, you ask him a question, there'd be a 10-second pause. There's no need for that. You're getting paid a lot of money. You know what it is. Give these people a break that are doing their job.
Jeff, you have anything?
Yeah, the L.A. Rams, the Rams Super Bowl and the Seattle Super Bowl. I had the Rams minus the 14 and the Seattle Super Bowl. I had 30 people in the room. Me and a good friend of mine had Seattle money line. And whenever Butler picked that ball up, 28 people jumped up, and I just looked around at my buddy like, I can't believe what happened.
He's like Rain Man, remember, in the line. Definitely minus 14 points.
I had the Patriots. I had the Patriots in both those, and I was actually in New Orleans. Me and my buddies drove down in an RV.
Oh, how was that ride?
Unbelievable. You talking about magical moments?
How about this? How was that ride back?
That was a tough one.
Everybody always gets fired up. Let's get an RV and drive down there. Nobody ever thinks of the ride home.
Brady or Belichick?
I'm always pick the player, but, you know, you can't win without the coach. So.
Belichick.
I'm going both.
Yeah.
Right. I know it's a cop-up.
I'll go
but
both.
He didn't give us the both option, did he?
Hey, we'll switch gears. She covers the Steelers for WPXIT.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to the Sports Map Radio studios with Anthony Pepe.
Also here, Mark Linehan, Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. It is wild card weekend, so we're talking Bill Belichick. We'll get into some wild card weekend stuff. Covers the Steelers for WPXI-TV, friend of the show on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Jenna Harner is online. Hey, Jenna, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be back with you guys.
Hey, so what are your thoughts from Pittsburgh on the whole Bill Belichick news here in New England that him and the New England Patriots have parted ways?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, the entire city of Pittsburgh breathed a collective sigh of relief because, you know, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, this Patriots team terrorized the Steelers organization for, I think, much longer than any Steelers fan would like to relive, would like to admit. So I know things obviously have kind of been different the last few years without Tom Brady when the Steelers have faced the Patriots, but there is just, I think, a lot of feelings of nerves that are just like, everybody's just like, all right, okay, we don't have to worry about this anymore. But it's definitely the end of an era. And I think as much as there was, you know, we can't stand just how these guys kind of constantly beat us, there's a lot of respect, you know, hey, they were incredibly talented and they did what they did for so many years and made the AFC as competitive as it was.
Well, Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots and the Patriots leaving him, or however you view it, is it Mike Tomlin the longest tenured coach now?
Yep.
I believe that's the case.
So, you know, obviously the situation we kind of knew was happening here in New England. We've been hearing rumblings about Mike Tomlin on the hot seat. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I think if you go back a couple weeks ago when the Steelers were in the midst of a three-game skid, they've lost back-to-back games to the two-win Cardinals and two-win Patriots, and then went to the Colts and just had an abysmal performance there, and their season was practically on life support. There were those rumblings, and not entirely, fans here were kind of calling for it, but nationally there were some conversations, hey, is it time? And then we see what Mike Tomlin teams have done year after year after year. He calls a meeting, he brings his guys together and says, hey, look, we got to get our act together. And they go on this three-game win streak here, the most improbable of ways, with Mason Rudolph, third-string quarterback, leading the charge. And all of a sudden, the Steelers find themselves somehow, some way in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, the Mike Tomlin, getting rid of Mike Tomlin conversations has absolutely come to a cease here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, all of a sudden, he's good again.
Exactly.
So, talk about the quarterback room, the quarterback depth chart. What's the situation going into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one, because I think if you had at the start of the season said, hey, by the way, the Steelers are going to make the playoffs, they're going to come in at 10-7, and Mason Rudolph is going to be the biggest reason, the biggest reason why they've gotten to that point, a lot of fans would have been like, in what world? Because Mason Rudolph hadn't started a game since 2019. But the reality is, you know, Kenny Pickett gets injured in the Cardinals game to kind of kick off that three-game losing streak the Steelers had before they turned things around in kind of the last third of the season. And they went to Mitch Trubisky. It didn't work out. So they said, hey, we're turning to Mason Rudolph. And all of a sudden, this offense has life to it that we have not seen in, you know, years, even since, you know, I've been covering this team since 2020. And this team, with the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career, there were spurts, but this offense is moving the ball. They have a true identity in the run game. Mason's hitting deep shots that we haven't seen quarterbacks hit here in Pittsburgh in a long while. And they're putting up points too. So as it is right now, there's some kind of wonky confusion. People were kind of looking at the depth chart because Kenny Pickett still is technically listed as the number one quarterback, but it's not really even a thing right now. It's Mason Rudolph's game, and until he falters, which we have not seen, Kenny Pickett will be the backup.
I mean, offensively, you have a real good team. You have a two-headed monster in the backfield with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Offensive wide receivers, Mr. Pickens and Deontay Johnson. Tight end, who was banged up for a while, Pat Freiermuth. My big question is, you're going to Buffalo, 10-point underdogs there. Let's just say hard-fought game and you lose by a field goal. Draft comes in March, April. Is there going to be rumblings of potentially drafting a quarterback? I know Kenny Pickett went to Pitt. He's from the area. He was hoping to replace Ben. It hasn't happened in 2 years. What's the temperature on potentially drafting a quarterback at the draft?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think we're searching for that answer as well here in Steelers media and Pittsburgh media, because the reality is, you know, this team should never have brought back offensive coordinator Matt Canada to start the season. They should have gone out, did some search, some guy, quarterback guru, quarterback whisperer that was going to help you get everything out of Kenny Pickett you could possibly get and bring this offense into the 21st century, because at the start of the season, we were not seeing that at all. The Steelers were averaging about 16 points a game, and they were really heavily relying on their defense to do a lot of the heavy lifting. So if there's a guy that falls, I wouldn't put it out of question that the Steelers will bring someone in. But the more likely thing is they're going to bring in an offensive coordinator this upcoming season, and you're going to see what you have in Kenny Pickett. And if you find whatever it is, you unlock this mode of him that we haven't seen in his performance up to this point. Hey, you found something good and you can ride with it. It's interesting because I'm going to be intrigued to see what direction they do want to go in the draft, because offensive line is still a big thing. You have some holes on defense that you are going to look to shore up as well. But I wouldn't put it past them, but I'm not entirely sure they're seeing it as a priority. But again, if somebody falls to them that's too good to pass up on, it wouldn't surprise me.
Jenna, thoughts on the weather going to Buffalo? I guess it's supposed to be so bad there was an unsubstantiated rumor they were moving the game to Cleveland. But as an Ithaca College girl, I'm sure this weather isn't a factor to you.
No, not at all. And I actually joke with a bunch of people. I worked in Buffalo 2 years before I moved to Pittsburgh. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is just a normal Sunday in Buffalo.
You
get snow. You kind of every day between, you know, late October, early November and April, you just kind of give yourself 20 minutes when you're going to work or going wherever you're going to brush your car off, and 20 minutes before you go home to do the same thing. So, the reality is, though, the winds in this game are seeming like they're going to be a big factor. I've kind of been picking our meteorologists brains that work all week long. Just, hey, what are we looking at? What's it going to seem like? Right now, it's seeming like there's going to be kind of sustained winds. They're calling for about 20 mile an hour sustained winds with gusts in like up to 45 miles an hour, which sounds outrageous. I feel like a lot of this game is going to be played on the ground. The snow, they haven't been able to pinpoint yet just because it's probably going to be a little more lake effect and they're going to wait to see how the winds shift a little bit. But there is a reality that this might be a little bit of a snow game, and Steelers are kind of, you know, that does lean in their favor just with the way this team has been able to run the ball, the way this offensive line has been winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. The Bills, though, at the same time, their run attack has been absolutely phenomenal over the last handful of weeks. So if things are going to keep trending the way that this weather is going to happen, it's going to be snowy, it's going to be really cold, and it's going to be windy. I see a lot of this game happening on the ground game, and whoever's going to win this battle at the line of scrimmage will win the game. Field goals are going to be probably hard to come by. We're probably going to see a lot more going for it on fourth and manageable versus, you know, kicking when you can. But I'm just going to be really intrigued to see what exactly this forecast is going to shape out to be, because this might be a real fun one.
Jenna, do you have any like moments of Bill Belichick, New England Patriots that you just despise, can't stand, and you just want to erase from
all of them?
Well, I will say I grew up a New York Giants fan, so for me, I enjoyed the Belichick era because the New York Giants won two Super Bowls against the Patriots, so I'm sorry to New England fans who are scarred by David Tyree and that, but I mean, he, as much as fun as it's kind of been being in Pittsburgh and seeing the reaction here that people have to the Patriots and have to Bill Belichick, it's just been so fun to watch. I mean, you can't deny the greatness of what he brought to the sport and just what he brought to the game and everything that he did. I joke with people all the time. I'm like, I give all of the Boston media and reporters that are in those press conferences day in and day out credit, because he's a tough one, and he forces you to be a better reporter. And I've had a lot of friends that have worked in Boston kind of say that. So it is, it's bittersweet, it feels like. You know, as much as fans love him or hate him, depending on what team you're a fan of, you got to give respect to, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it.
It's the 10-7 Steelers at the 11-6 Bills Sunday, 1 p.m. Jenna, who wins?
Oh, who wins? Oh, see, I go back and forth with this because of the weather. I think the Bills are more adapt just to be able to pull this one out. I think they're playing some of the best football. I think they've been as dangerous as they've been. But the Steelers have this knack for just playing insanely weird games this season where you're just like, what is going on? And they
this could be it.
To do that. Exactly. With the weather, this I think this could be it in that case. So if the weather ends up getting pretty crazy, don't count out the Steelers.
All right.
I just realistically think the Bills are more set for this victory.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, guys.
Dress warm.
It's Jenna Harner, covers the Steelers, WPXI-TV. We'll talk more Bill Belichick next.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to the Sports Map Radio studios with Anthony Pepe.
Mark Linehan, Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors here as well. Charles in charge in Houston. Charles Carter running Rock and Roll Control, doing a fantastic job as always. Breaking news last night, Nick Saban walks away from Alabama and retires. That was a little bit of a shocker, a little bit of a surprise. And that happens last night. You're thinking that's going to carry the day, and boom, Bill Belichick's out today.
Yeah, my beer.
It's unbelievable. But quickly on Nick Saban, this is a little bit of a surprise because he makes the college football playoffs, you know, the Final Four. Now they're going to go to 12 teams next year. You know Alabama's always going to be in that mix. He has a competitive game. And then after the game, he said that was the best they've ever played, and he's really proud of his team. It seemed like that statement was a little odd from Nick Saban, not bitter, not like, hey, we should have won, blah, blah. At the end of the day, like, maybe he kind of knew then he was walking away?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was surprised hearing the news, but when you think about it, I'm not. I think you're going to see more and more college guys try to take NFL jobs.
Well, he's not stepping in the
NFL. No, I'm saying either Lee, he's 72 years old. Yeah. He's got a $17.5 million house on Jupiter Island in Florida that's empty right now. But I think that, you know, and talking to people that I know that are in college, that the word is, like, if you get a chance to go to the NFL with all the crap that's going on in college now and between the NIL stuff, the competing, for years, college coaches would say, I want to go to the NFL because I don't have to recruit. Recruiting's a pain in the ass. But now you have to recruit your own kids on top of.
You have to keep them.
Yeah, on top of doing it. And then, you know, the competition aspect with, you know, paying kids and, you know, the one thing that's never reported is the controversy on individual teams that if you pay in a, you know, you pay a quarterback $1 million and all of a sudden he's not starting, number one, the kid's going to leave. Number two, the backup kid's looking for his bag of cash.
And I have to believe number three, that backer who gave him the $1 million is pretty pissed.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. It's a weird convoluted rule to the fact that coaches aren't supposed to have any input on where the money's going, which is the biggest joke of all time. But, I mean, it's just so out of hand and so, I don't know, uncompetitive is even a word. But, you know, I can see somebody like Saban saying the hell with this. You know?
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And Jeff, you know, add to this, but I'm just curious. You know, my first thought was like, and I hate to bash somebody like when they retire.
Go ahead, bash.
A legend. But I call like Nick Saban a coward. Like, the college football players are going to 12 teams next season. Yeah. Does he feel like he's going to have too much competition now?
No.
I mean, he's Alabama. He's Nick Saban. Like,
I don't think he ever thinks that. He's one of those guys like Belichick thinks he's going to beat everybody and can beat everybody and not going to change. Just time. You know, it's just time to go. He's the same age as Belichick. He's got probably, you know, he's got get plenty of money. And I think that there's more crap in college football than the NFL, that it's just getting worse and worse. And, you know, especially a team like Alabama, for all the success they have and all the, you know, supposedly they had more five-star kids on their roster this year than the entire Big Ten. So I can only imagine the infighting and the competition and the fight for money and the crap of kids other teams trying to steal your backups and all that kind of stuff. Finally, enough's enough. You know, I'm sure his wife's like, dude, we got a $17.5 million house in Florida that they probably spent 15 nights in last year. You know, let's go
enjoy.
I'm going to go conspiracy theory. Just
all right,
a thought.
I like those.
Go for it.
You know, he was tired of what's going on with the transfer portal. I think the season was, as they said, it wasn't one of the best Bama teams, but it was probably his best coaching job, losing in game four, the fourth week to Texas, just the way it finished out, got to the Final Four, lost in overtime. Call me crazy here. You're seeing Bill Belichick, you're hearing Harbaugh, the NFL. He had one taste of the apple. There's a guy in Carolina, a Fruit Loop, with a boatload of money.
David Tepper?
With Bryce Young. Yes, Mr. Tepper, with Bryce Young, which I'm going to just say he might listen to. That's what I'm hearing.
But didn't Nick Saban try this NFL thing? It didn't work out.
It didn't work then. I'm just saying Bryce Young, $15 million.
Nah, I think he's done.
No,
you never know. I like conspiracy theories.
I don't mind it.
I think Pep shot JFK.
Yeah. I think I did, too. I was probably bleep-faced.
Not probably.
Hey, tougher position to fill, guys. I mean, filling in for Bill Belichick, the next guy, or Nick Saban. Like, they're both impossible, right?
That's right.
I think Saban's kind of an easier fill just because the roster changes over all the time. In college football,
yep.
You know, and the money's going to be there, and you got somebody that's already involved. Lane Kiffin's name's been thrown around there. Guy Dan Lanning, I thought was a possibility, but he made an announcement today. The Oregon coach? Yeah, yep. He's an SEC guy. He said no today. But the curveball on him was he had a $20 million buyout on his contract, too. You know what I mean? So Alabama's still an attractive job. You're always going to be competitive no matter what. You know, and if you're already in the SEC, if you're a Lane Kiffin, you know, why not go to the best team in the SEC? You know what I mean? Where the money's going to be there. And, you know, and that you know,
a lot more money, a lot more perks.
Yeah, you got to put up a lot more crap too. But I, you know, you got to see, you know, if you look at the money and that they are offering Harbaugh and the Michigan State, the Big Ten money was basically 10 years for $100 million. So that seems to be the number that I would assume is the Alabama job. You know.
Yeah, Lanning was the favorite, and rumor has it that he was in town. Maybe not.
Yeah, that wasn't true.
Phil. Mr. Nike himself probably opened up the bag and says, hey, wait a minute. Heard Sark turned it down. We heard Kiffin's name and DeBoer.
Okay, this happened last night. So, yeah. I mean, how many people have the real offer or real ability to
well,
get
Lanning,
this
Lanning
job?
Stepped right up and called the meeting of the team and said he's not going anywhere right away, right off the bat. I would assume Phil Knight's already taking care of him. I would think that, you know, he's got some promises down the line for NIL money, which I've been told that Phil Knight was never really a big NIL guy, but in the last couple of years, seeing what's going on, he's in his 80s now. He's got a ton of money. He wants to win a national championship. Him and his wife, Penny Knight, I'm a little familiar with him just from my relationship with Oregon when Chip was there. The money that he's donated around school, there's the Phil Knight Medical School. He had a son that passed away in like an accident in Costa Rica or something. The baseball field's named after him. Yeah. They have this unbelievable like academic support building. He just is ridiculous. But he never really got involved in NIL in the last couple of years. But I've been told that that's going to change because he's getting old and wants to win the whole thing.
Was it true when you were on that campus a couple times you had a can hoping he was going to put some money in it?
I had more than a can. I was falling around. I actually got to hang around with him a couple of times since. He didn't hook a brother up.
What kind of guy is he?
He's absolutely the greatest guy in the world. He's just, like, he's got, like...
Does he wear everything Nike?
No, he wears, like, jeans and, like, a corduroy jacket. And he used to love hanging around with all the nuts from New Hampshire, all Chip's friends hanging around with us in the parking lot. He had a private jet, obviously, that would fly him into Eugene. And then he had a Winnebago that he would drive to the parking lot.
Kind of like your lifestyle.
Yeah, a lot like that, yeah. I have a Winnebago, too. But it's...
A bagel or
yeah,
a Winnebago?
Yeah, I don't even have... I kind of afford either one of them. But, yeah, he was great. He was really, really tight and really friendly with Coach Kelly and his wife, Penny. They were great. And, you know, the whole organization he had was just, you know... And, obviously, I used to go out to Oregon and come back with bags of clothes. So you still know, you still get some.
Yes. I got a nice Ducks Nike polo shirt
the other
day.
Care of
hey,
a Dr. Fenway.
We got about 4 minutes left here, guys. 3 minutes left. Curious, Bill Belichick, and we're hearing all these landing spots, and you mentioned Carolina. There's a spot available, and obviously Tennessee just opened up. Seattle is available. Obviously, you know, Atlanta is a hot rumor now with Bill Belichick. We've heard about possibly the Chargers, and there's a quarterback in place and some things in place. How would you rate these teams on what the opening spots are right now and where Bill's going to go?
I got the Chargers batting leadoff just for the quarterback situation. The owner likes them. I was told a few weeks ago that by somebody that's in the know a little bit that the Chargers were going to make a full court press after them.
And what do you got, two, three, four? Like, is Atlanta really up there, you believe?
Yeah, I think Atlanta's up there because I think now it becomes, I think that, you know, quality of life where he wants to live. That's why I think L.A. is huge, you know, Manhattan Beach, and, you know, with carte blanche that way. But, you know, the next step is how much, what are you going to throw at me? You know, you're going to give me $1 billion?
We know that owner doesn't spend money, though. The Chargers owner, Spanos?
Yeah, well, supposedly he's
Chargers,
in play.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think just from what I've been told, that they're going to go at him, whether or not he wants to go there or not, I don't know.
And I think this weekend, just on Twitter tonight, Sirianni, his name's out there. If they lost at Tampa,
Philly
opens up. So, again, I think with Belichick now in the open
How would that
market,
fan base embrace Bill Belichick?
I think the curveball there, I think Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, who's a Newton, Massachusetts guy, was a Red Sox season ticket holder forever, would love it. But he's already got a GM there in Howie Roseman that I don't see Belichick getting along with.
What about Dallas, Jeff?
That's the number one spot. If they were to get upset,
they have everybody there. They have all the players in place. They have the defense, best offensive line, all the football. They have all the weapons. They have everything but a coach that can coach them to win.
And Bill's all-time favorite player is Lawrence Taylor. Well, Mr. Parsons is who he wanted and then didn't get there, and then we got Mac Jones. So that would be the number one landed spot.
Love it. All right, we'll take our final timeout here on the Die Hard.
Stay on till 11.
I think 4 hours was enough. I'm hungry, Linehan.
What are you going to have?
I'm going to have some sausage guy sausages.
Oh,
hello,
really?
Hello.
And you're going to cook?
Yes. Take our final timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to a New England guy that's living in Vegas. We'll do a little hockey with him. We'll lay his take on Bill Belichick as well. Jason Pothier from Sinbin Vegas. Also, diehard hockey guru and trading analyst at Caesars Palace. We'll head out to Vegas next. He's Linehan, he's Dawson, I'm Pepe. You're listening to the Diehard Sports Map Radio Network.
Straight up. Cash in, cash out, cash in, cash out, cash in, cash out, cash in, cash out, cash out, cash out, cash out, cash out.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to the Sports Map Radio studios with Anthony Pepe.
Mark Linehan is here as well. Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. And one final time tonight on the Tribute to Bill Belichick show, we'll go back to the Progressive Insurance guest line, sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Diehard's hockey guru, Sinbin Vegas. He's a trading analyst at Caesars. And he's a friend of the show. Jason Pothier is on the line.
Hey, it's trading analyst code for Janitor. Let's get it up front right now.
Jay Pot, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. I'm a little depressed, though. I won't lie to you. You know, even though it's hockey season, I'm still I'm frustrated with the Kraft family. How about that?
All right, well, that segues right into where I want to ask you about. You're a New England guy. I know you're a Patriots guy. So when you first heard the news out there in Vegas, I mean, it wasn't a surprise. We talked about this earlier. We knew this was coming. But was there part of you that was hoping they were going to work something out and keep him here?
Yeah, and especially since I think it was DraftKings or FanDuel last night adjusted the Patriots as the second favorite for him to go coach next year. And so I was getting a little excited there. Then the news came out early this morning. So, I mean, it makes no sense. You gave up on the best quarterback in history, and now you gave up on the best coaching history. I just don't understand the pattern with the Kraft right now.
And do you think Bill Belichick, we talked about all these teams that he could, as rumored to go to and be a fit, you think he'd be a good fit in Vegas?
You know, I don't think he would be. I think fans would love him. I just don't think this roster is mature enough for Belichick. So that's the one thing that I would worry about. And I don't think he has the key players here to win. They don't have a quarterback.
Could you imagine if the Raiders brought in another Patriot guy?
Uh-huh. and he brought McDaniels in as the OC. Hey, Jay Pod, your Bruins are in town tonight. You all excited?
Sorry, I lost you there, but I know you mentioned the Bruins. And I would say that this is probably a perfect scenario for them to come into Vegas and pull out a win. Vegas is just sloppy right now. They can't score. Their goaltender, again, last night he got hurt, so now they have three goaltenders hurt. And realistically, the Bruins have this opportunity to come in, especially they must be ticked off after that overtime loss in Arizona.
Yeah, back-to-backs, too, is always interesting that way. What do you see for a trading-type situation there? Obviously, they need a goalie. The Bruins used to have an extra one. Do you see any trades coming down? The one name that popped up a lot this week has been Trevor Zegras, a BU kid, so I'm a little familiar with his game, but he's a piece of work as a kid.
I mean, I love watching Trevor Zegras play. The only thing is he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, so, yeah. I mean, who's going to trade or who's going to give up a first-round pick or some prospect for a guy who's got a broken ankle, needs surgery, and you don't know how he's going to be in 8 weeks? Plus, I don't think Anaheim would pull the trigger now because they know they won't get full value. So, you know, John Gibson is a goalie. Or he was a goalie with the Ducks, and he just got hurt, but he's potentially on the way out as well. I would think that Vegas is going to look for a defenseman. I would assume that Boston is, you know, maybe in the market for some score, some maybe depth scoring. But I don't know. As of right now, there's so many teams in the mix that, you know, you really can't decide who's going to pick up a player and who's available.
Jess, why do you think it is with the goalie being the most important position in the game and maybe in all sports that trades don't really happen that much for them and you don't really get a lot of value? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's funny. I think Cassidy proved last year in the playoffs that goalie isn't the most important player. I mean, he had Aiden Hill win the Stanley Cup for him. Aiden Hill was a career backup, always hurt. He's hurt this year. So, in a way, I think some coaches can play and win with a bad goalie or an average goalie. But then there's some other teams. I mean, look at Winnipeg. Where would Winnipeg be without Hellebuck? And where would
nowhere
hockey's kid.
The Stanley Cup, I don't want to say hangover. You guys came out guns blazing. Great, great start. You talked about injuries. I've been to a handful of games at the Fortress. There's nothing better than watching a game in Vegas. How's the locals? How's the temperature there? You're struggling a little, but, I mean, we got plenty of hockey still left this season.
Yeah. And I think, you know, since the Golden Knights have been really, you know, they've been a playoff team since their inception, Golden Knights fans are sort of like Patriots fans. They're a little, you know, a little spoiled. So I think right now that the fans are just letting the season play out. Injuries are obviously hurting them right now, but they still pack the arena. They still watch every night, listen to Gosher. And, you know, they're just having at this point, they're just looking for their team to get in the playoffs, and then they'll see what happens. I mean, this is still definitely a Stanley Cup winning team.
J-Pod, I'm being out there in Vegas and being the trading analyst for Caesars. Any of these books have odds on where Bill Belichick is going?
We don't hear at Caesars, but some do. And right now, the Chargers, Washington, and I don't understand the Atlanta rumor, but now they're starting to Dallas, if they lose in the first round or if they lose, there's potential that Jerry Jones would make a phone call to Belichick. So I don't know. I mean, the Chargers make sense. He's got the quarterback. He's got all the players. I just don't think he wants to coach on the West Coast.
Hey, Jason, let's talk a little jump-off hockey a little bit to football. We got my gambling expert here with me tonight. Any line moves or anything going on this weekend that we should jump on?
Well, a lot of money was coming in on Kansas City, like a lot. And then all of a sudden, over the past couple of days, Miami money's been trickling in a little bit. And I think immediately, because of the weather, it's supposed to be so cold. That's why everybody was jumping on Kansas City. But I think the books are trying to even out their money, and they welcome Miami money at this point.
You know, it's funny. The Eagles opened up 2.5-point favorites. The whole world's on Tampa. Now, Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown a ball in a week, and the line...
Give me the Eagles.
I mean, yeah, the Eagles.
Yep.
And the funny part is that line's supposed to go down to 2, 1.5. It has now gone to 3. At Caesars right now, are you seeing more buck money come in, or are the Eagles still the champs?
Well, so we're seeing both, but the public is heavy on the Eagles because they're seeing the same thing we are. Not much sharp money has come in on the game yet, but they're expecting it to be one of the highest played game of the weekend. So yeah, I think what people, like you were just saying, I think they're waiting for the line to adjust, and then they'll jump on it either Friday or Saturday morning or whatever. But I think for the most part, you're going to see most of the money on the Eagles.
Gotcha.
Hey, J-Pod, thanks for the time as always. Appreciate it, buddy. And go Bruins.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, right. J-Pod.
Jason Pod here. Hockey guru for the diehard Sinbin Vegas, trading analyst at Caesars. And I wanted to cut him a little early here because I want to wrap things up with the Bill Belichick stuff, guys. And I'm just curious to get your take. Jeff, you love the conspiracy theories. Could you imagine if Bill Belichick went to a team that didn't have a quarterback and Tom Brady unretired? Wouldn't that be just the ultimate kick in the you-know-what to the crafts?
Like, the Raiders, he's a pot owner, right?
obviously, that hasn't gone through yet, and he can't play if he's an owner. But could you imagine if that happened?
Well, then might as well bring back Gronk, too, right?
Why not?
Yeah.
Bring the whole band back together. Josh McDaniels, the OC.
John Hanna.
Vrabel's your defensive coordinator. I wonder if he's going to try to bring Vrabel with him, by the way.
Vrabel's going to be a head job.
If Gerard Mayo gets the Patriots job, which everyone seems to be leaning towards, which I'm not a fan of, but that's another story for another time, there's no chance Belichick tries to give Vrabel, you know, defensive coordinator but head coaching money or something?
Well, here's another example. He's going to have the offset because Tennessee's paying him still. So
yep.
I don't see Vrabel doing anything becoming a head coach, especially with 9 jobs open.
But can I say, why in holy hell was Josh McDaniel there today? Something smells.
That's his boy.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think if there was more of a, if they had like a 2-day notice it was going to happen, you would have seen a lot of guys come back.
Yep.
You know, a lot of coaches, a lot of ex-players all would have been in that room like you see all the time for something like that.
Kind of like you kissing the ring type of deal?
Yeah, you know, just pay respect to when somebody's retiring like that, everybody comes back. So I think that, you know, the short notice, I think McDaniels is here just out of respect for the guy that he worked for.
Also a team that nobody's talking about, and I know he's safe and Sally and the Jets, but wouldn't it be great if he went to the Jets or even Buffalo. If Buffalo bails out and McDermott isn't doing, you know, what he's supposed to do in Buffalo, wouldn't it be great for the NFL and Patriot fans, and I know they wouldn't like it, but to face Bill Belichick twice a year?
If I'm Belichick, I'm going somewhere warm.
Yeah, but he doesn't care about that. He loves his hoodies and his ski mask. He looked like Darth Vader in the last game.
He likes Nantucket, too.
Well, the locals, that's why they were laughing. Atlanta, of all places, plus it's in a dome.
I just can't see him going to Atlanta. Yeah. And I also can't see him going to Washington.
Now, I love the LA. Thought that one of the NFC East teams loses this week, Philly or Dallas. That's where I want to see it.
I mean, you know Jerry Jones would write the check for him.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, why would you?
I'm voting Chargers still.
Chargers, makes are you you're leading?
Harbaugh. That's Harbaugh.
Nice weather. Harbaugh to Vegas.
How about Vrabel, Ohio State?
Yeah, and Ryan Day to the Patriots.
We could do this all night. Well,
keep an eye on Ryan going to the NFL.
It was an interesting day today, and it was a very fun show.
We're staying on. I don't care if anybody's listening.
Jeff and I are taking over. Sports Map Radio, Michael Carroll for putting all the production stuff together. Thanks. Craig Larson, the PD. Charles Carter running rock and roll control in Houston. Fantastic job, as always. Of course, all of our guests. Mark Linehan. Jeff, it's great to have you, buddy.
Pep, you deserve all the credit, man. An amazing, amazing job lining up the guests today. Hats off.
It was a fun show, and be interesting to see what Bill Belichick and where he lands next. Thanks, guys, for listening.